So real quick before we jump in, I know yesterday was stressful for my Georgia friends out here. And so the Bible says that we are to confess our sins to one another and we will be healed. And so if you need to confess for anything that you said during halftime of that game yesterday, just turn to your neighbor real quick, confess, and just say, I'm really, really sorry, Lord. And if you don't confess, Kirby may need to confess because I'm guessing he didn't say church words during that halftime speech. So, we love sports. I love sports, and it's one of the things that I've just always loved growing up. I grew up in a home that, football or baseball or basketball was always on the TV. I grew up in Southwest Missouri, so my teams were the Kansas City Royals, bless my heart. The Kansas City Chiefs, which bless my heart until just a few years ago, kind of thing. And so I've always loved it. I played sports growing up. I played baseball as a kid. I played basketball as a kid. I played soccer as a kid. When I say I played soccer, I basically did cartwheels on the field while I was 8 years old out there because soccer just didn't do it for me. And so I did that. In my low-level athletic career, I played basketball in high school. I played basketball in college. And I know you can look at me and just tell that took place. And in those years, I got hurt. And that's just part of athletics. And over the years in playing, I hurt myself multiple times. I've sprained my knees. I've sprained my ankles more than I can count. I've had my nose busted, my lip busted. I've dislocated fingers before. In fact, one time, I actually dislocated my thumb. One of our friends here at church, I was 30. I should have known not to do this. He called me and said, hey, we need another guy to come play on our basketball team at a church league kind of thing. Do you want to play? And it's like, yeah, I want to play. It's like, I'm a man. I'm in my prime. I'm in my peak right here. I hadn't played basketball in 5 years, And so I went out there and played, and I didn't have a heart attack in the first 3 minutes, so I was really, really feeling good, and drove down the lane and went to go for a layup. Guy kind of hip-checked me, and I flew out, and I braced myself up against the wall, and then I got up, and this thumb looked like that, and it was just like pop-topped. I mean, it was like a Pez dispenser is what it looked like, and I was like, oh my goodness, I could see the joints, the ligaments, all those kind of things. And it's like, that's not good. And so it was like, we're going to have to do something about this. And then there was this smart aleck kid. I don't know, he's not a kid anymore, but who was running the scoreboard there at this church. He's like, I got some duct tape if you want to put it together. And so I shoved my thumb in his face. I said, duct tape ain't fixing this one, big guy. And he's like, oh, okay, kind of thing. So I had to have surgery for that. So I got to do that. But what I've gone through physically, and those of you who've played sports, the injuries that we've all occurred really pale in comparison to what the people who, play on Sundays and Saturdays kind of go through and what they experience. Like, I don't know if you remember Ronnie Lott. Do you guys remember Ronnie Lott was a safety for the San Francisco 49ers years ago? And one season, he hurt his pinky. He broke his pinky really, really bad. And so it needed surgery to have it repaired. But whenever it was looking at the recovery time for his surgery, from the surgery, it was going to make him miss too many games. And so Ronnie Lott said to the doctor, he said, just cut it off. So they did. And they amputated his pinky so that he wouldn't miss any more games. Okay? They're built different, all right? They're just a little different, aren't they? It's like Torrey Holt was a wide receiver for the St. Louis Rams years and years ago, like the greatest show on turf, Rams with Kurt Warner and that guy. And he dislocated all 10 of his fingers multiple times, so many times that just a little bit of pressure could just make one of them just pop out and just go another way. And so he tells the story that he was playing a game and he was running a route. And in that route, he was jostling with the defender trying to get open, and one of his fingers just dislocated on the fly. And so he keeps running the route, and while he's running the route, he reaches over, pops his finger back in, turns around, and catches the ball. They're different, aren't they? I mean, they just really, really, really are. Wayne Smith, one of my favorite preachers, tells a story about an NFL referee, Tommy Bell. He was a referee for 15 years, way back when, and he was actually the head official in Super Bowls 1 and 3, okay? Which, by the way, the Kansas City Chiefs played in those, and then they didn't play in one for a really, really long time after that. And the Chiefs had a defensive end. His name was Fred Arbanus. And on a cross play, he just hit another guy head on, and one of his eyes fell out. Now, not until then did anybody know he had an artificial eye, okay? But for a defensive end to have an artificial eye, that's kind of a big deal, you know? And so finding the eye wasn't really a problem. So they found the eye. They called the water boy over. He came out, washed it off, and Fred popped the eye right back in there. And so Tommy, who is just this like short guy, he looked up at this giant of a man and said, "Fred, I mean, I just don't believe this, man." He's like, "I mean, you got one eye and your livelihood, your security, your profession, your future, everything depends on your eyesight. You've already lost one of your eyes. What would you do if you lost the other eye?" And Fred looked at him and said, "Well, I guess I'd become a referee like you, Mr. Bell." You gotta love it, right? You gotta love it. See, injuries, getting hurt, just part of the game. And the best, and it's those that we admire the most, are the ones who learn to play through the pain and who play on regardless of the situation. And in today, we're in week 3 of our series called Faith Under Fire, and we're looking at the letter of 1 Peter, and we're asking this question: how can difficulty, how can suffering be something that actually ignites our faith and it doesn't extinguish our faith? How are we able to get through this? And as we continue today, I want to jump ahead to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want to share with you a really, really important truth that you need to know, okay? And it's this: at some point, you're going to go through the fire. Let's say it like this: at some point, you will get hurt. And I know that's a really positive message, and you're glad that you came today, you know, and so I'll just put it positively, and it's this: I am positive that you are going to get hurt, okay? It's just what's going to happen. At some point in your life, you are going to be hurt. The Bible says in Job chapter 14 that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's coming. Pain is inevitable. It's coming. Hurt is going to happen to you. And let me just ask you this, and if you're watching online, you can answer this question. You don't have to type in the comments or anything like this, but just let me ask you this. Have you ever found yourself discouraged or depressed? Ever had your feelings hurt? Have you ever felt misunderstood? You ever had rumors started about you? Have you ever been betrayed by those close to you? My friends, whenever you get in the game, and you decide that you're going to go all in with your faith, at some point in your life, you're going to experience pain. And I know it's what we all want to avoid. I mean, you can walk down the aisle in the pharmacy and you can see pain relief, pain relief, pain relief. And we want to avoid pain as much as we possibly can. And we do everything that we can to avoid pain, to avoid discomfort. But it will happen. You will experience pain. Three ways you'll experience it. First way you're going to experience it is physically. At some point in your life, you're going to experience physical pain. In fact, if you're in the room today, I want you to just raise your hand real quick if you hurt physically, all right? Some of you can't because your shoulder hurts, and so you're like, ow, it hurts. And if you're under the age of 30, you don't really know it. You really haven't experienced a lot of pain. But after 40, all downhill, man, just all downhill. And then after 40, then people are really nice because they're like, hey, just wait till you hit 50. Then it really goes downhill. And then those that are over 60, they're like, you don't even know anything yet, you know? And so everybody knows you're just going to hurt physically. I mean, it's your back, it's your knee, it's your joints. Physically, we experience pain. We just aren't in the condition we would like to be. I mean, I understand this. Like, there was a few months ago, I threw my neck out rolling over in bed. Hey, it was just like, how do you even do this, you know, kind of thing. And so that's why I completely understand the statement, you know, the older I get, the better I used to be. And that's with me. And you add to those things like illness and poor health, and eventually we will experience pain in our lives. Listen, Father Time is undefeated, isn't he? It's going to happen. And for many of us, pain is just a constant companion. The Apostle Paul would talk about pain. He talked about this thorn in his flesh that he begged God to take away. We got no idea what it was. We just know that he begged and he begged and he begged. But in the end, what he said was this: is whenever I'm weak, I am strong. You're going to hurt. Lou Gehrig played first base for the Yankees for 15 years. He was known as the Iron Man of baseball. At one point, he hit 10 home runs in 7 World Series. That's not important. What's important is that he played 2,130 games in a row, which was a record until Cal Ripken Jr. passed it. And every time they played, he was in the lineup. I mean, that's like a preacher being in the pulpit for 51 straight years, never missing a Sunday kind of thing. I mean, that's just a lot of times in a row. And whenever Gehrig retired, they x-rayed his hands, and they found that every finger had been broken once, some twice, others three times, but he never missed a game. What did he do? He played through the pain. He played when he was hurt. What is the greatest football team to ever play? And it's not Georgia's team last year, okay? It's not. Sports writers say it was in 1899 in Suwanee, Tennessee. They call it it's now called the College of the South. And remember, in 1899, there aren't airplanes to travel on, and they played five teams in 6 days. They didn't play on Sunday, and they played Texas, Texas A&M, Tulane, LSU, and Mississippi. They had only 14 players and a barrel of Tennessee spring water, and they played both offense and defense. They scored 113 total points, and their opponents scored zero. They played 5 games, 6 days, broken, bruised, and bloodied, but they never missed a game. The most lopsided score in the history of college football was in 1916, whenever Georgia Tech played Cumberland College in Cumberland, Tennessee. The score was 222-0. So there you go, Georgia Tech fans. You got something to just go, oh, man, the glory days, all right? And whenever reading about the game, they said that the Tech players were like animals, big, and the Cumberland players were small. And one time, the Cumberland quarterback fumbled the ball, and it rolled toward a teammate, and he yelled over and said, "Pick it up!" And the other player yelled back, "You pick it up! You dropped it!" And so, you got to play when you're hurt physically. You're going to hurt physically. Here's the second thing. You're going to hurt emotionally. Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples. They saw all of his miracles. They heard all of his teachings. They watched him raise people from the dead. They watched him bring sight to the blind. They were there when he fed the thousands. 3 long years, day after day, night after night. And in the end, 1 betrayed him. 3 couldn't stay up and pray with him through the night. And all but 1 ran away from him in his darkest hour. Do you think Jesus hurt emotionally? Absolutely. But he kept on going. And church, if you live long enough, eventually you will lose someone to death. Eventually, you're going to be disappointed by somebody. Eventually, someone will hurt your feelings, whether it was intentional or unintentional. If you're married, there may be times when your marriage may not be what you always hoped it to be. If you're raising kids, they will make decisions that will pain you. And you're going to wonder what you should have done differently or where you messed up. At some point in your life, you will hurt emotionally. And you'll also hurt spiritually. There will be times when your prayers feel like they are bouncing off the ceilings. There will be times when you have a sin that you continue to give into, and you give into that temptation over and over and over again. There will be times when you just don't feel it. There will be times whenever you feel as though God has abandoned you, or you will feel that his church has failed you. And there will be other times that you're going to hurt spiritually, and it's not going to be because of anyone else, but it's going to be because of you and your sin. And you're going to feel enslaved by it and hopeless against it. You will hurt spiritually. At some point in your life, you are going to experience pain. You're going to experience hurt. You cannot avoid it. But what do the scriptures say? When we're weak, he is strong. In other words, as Christians, we look at pain differently. We know that whenever we go all in with our faith, whenever we get into the game, that we're going to get hurt. And the question is, will you play on? Will you get back up? Will you keep on going? Will you keep playing the game and playing even when you are hurt? Somebody once said that Christians are like teabags. You don't know how good they are until you put them in hot water. You will experience this. So how are we going to play on? And that's where we get to our text today. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 12 through 19 today. So if you've got your Bible, I'd invite you to grab it and flip over there. It'll be up here on the screen as well. But this is what Peter says to his church. He says this, "Dear friends, don't be," say this next word with me, "don't be surprised." Don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through as though something strange is happening to you. Instead, be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it mustn't be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if the judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right, and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. In this text, Peter gives three instructions for how we can play through the pain. Here's instruction number one. Don't be surprised by the pain. Don't be surprised by it. And that is a command that he gives them. Do not be surprised by the fiery trials that you are going through, as if something strange was happening to you. Don't be surprised. Now, he doesn't say don't be hurt. He doesn't say don't be filled with grief. He doesn't say anything like that. But he does say don't be surprised by it. Don't be shocked. Don't be caught off guard. Because if you're going to get in the game, if you're going to play, you are going to get hurt. But you can't be surprised by it. You don't let it catch you off guard, because you will never be able to handle the pain if you're always surprised by the pain. You'll never be able to handle it. And if you're constantly saying, well, how could this happen to me? I mean, I'm a good Christian. I'm a good person. I try to do what is right. I mean, doesn't the Bible say that God loves us? How can this be? If you're always surprised, you're never going to make it through the pain. I love what Oswald Chambers says in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. This is what he says. He says, if you're going to be used by God, he will take you through a number of experiences that are not meant for you personally at all. They are designed to make you useful in his hands and enable you to understand what takes place in the lives of others. Listen to him. God's way is always the way of suffering, the way of the long road home. Do you hear what he's saying? This is God's way. It always includes suffering. And he allows us to go through suffering because of what 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4 says, that the God of all comfort comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in theirs. He's using it. He's shaping it. And so whenever we grieve, whenever we hurt, whenever we acknowledge, oh my goodness, this hurts, it will not take us out whenever we acknowledge it. It's whenever we just don't expect it to be showing up. That's whenever we're taken out. And so the way we overcome surprise is simple, is we just remember pain will show up. It's going to happen, but it's a pathway to growth. My high school basketball coach, Coach Armstrong, he would gather us up every season before everything would get going, and he would look at us all and say, men, you got two options this year. We can either have hard practices and easy games, or we can have easy practices and hard games. You guys get to pick. It's your choice. And what is he doing? He was preparing us and saying, hey, you can go through the pain right now so that you can experience the growth that you need, or we can avoid all the pain and try to avoid all the pain up front, and guess what? You're still going to get pain later. Pain is a pathway to growth. So we don't go, I didn't realize this was going to happen. I mean, can you imagine a running back coming back to the huddle and he's like, guys, they're trying to hit me out there. What are they doing? I mean, the way the play is supposed to go, I'm supposed to walk into the end zone. Why are they hitting me? And everybody goes, well, you're in a game. That's exactly how it goes. And that's the way life is. Pain is a part of it. Don't be surprised by the pain. Here's the second instruction Peter gives. He says this, obey through the pain. Be obedient even when you hurt. And I love what he says there. He's like, if you're going to suffer, make sure it's not because you're a murderer. Okay, all right, check. Or because you're a thief or any other kind of criminal. But then he even says, or because you're a meddler, you're just sticking your nose in other people's business. He's saying that the most important thing for us to do in the midst of our pain is to continue to obey. But you know what's really difficult about this? Is it's really hard to obey whenever we hurt sometimes, isn't it? It's really easy to disobey whenever we hurt. Whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, it's easy to disobey. Whenever we're going through a hard time, it's easy to say, well, why should I obey? Where is it getting me in the first place? I mean, here I am trying to do all the good things that God wants me to do, and I'm getting nothing but pain for it. It sure would be a whole lot easier if I just stopped doing what God wanted me to do, and maybe at least then some of this pain would go away. And so it's easy to look at the pain and say, it's not worth it. I give up. I'm just going to go out on my own and do my own thing. And that may be some of your stories in here. That you went through a season, and it was painful. And maybe you lost someone, or you lost something, or there was a betrayal, or something took place, and you were hurt, and you were mad at God, and you were angry with him. And so you said, God, I want nothing to do with you right now. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to numb the pain any way that I can feel, any way I can find, whether it's through a bottle, whether it's through pills, whether it's lighting something up. I'm going to go numb the pain the best way I can. And you were angry in your disappointment, and your disappointment led you to disobedience. But you've realized that it's actually the worst thing that you can do is to stop obeying even though you're hurting. That the worst thing that we can do is to disobey whenever we're hurting. Because whenever we face pain and we obey through the pain, God continues to do a work in us. He does a work in our heart, and he makes it a great heart, a soft heart, a pliable heart that he is able to do something powerful through. But when we disobey, it hardens the heart even more, doesn't it? And we become a worse version of ourselves. We become more selfish. We become more bitter. We just get worse. So Peter says, just obey. Obey through the pain. Don't be surprised by it. Obey through the pain. And then the last instruction he gives is trust God in the pain. He says, commit yourself. Continue to do good. And trust your life to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. Trust him. Be sure of him. Why can he be trusted? You ever wondered this? In the midst of your pain, in the midst of everything hurting, have you ever asked yourself, why can this God be trusted? And I'm so glad you're asking that question, because that's the best question that you can ask. And the answer is very simple. There are, in all kinds of religions, there's a lot of wisdom that is out there. But Christianity is the only one in which you have a God who suffers for you. It's the only one. Our God suffered. Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, came down from heaven, lived a perfect and sinless life. He suffered, and he experienced every pain that you could ever imagine. Did Jesus Christ experience physical pain? Oh my goodness, the cross was excruciating. In fact, the word Latin excruciating comes from the cross. That's what it means. And he went through the pain of crucifixion. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was spit upon. Crown of thorns, spear in the side, spikes through the hands, spikes through the feet, beaten and flogged. He experienced physical pain beyond anything that we will ever experience. Did he experience emotional pain? He was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows. God had one son without sin, but no son without sorrow. He experienced spiritual pain because on the cross, Jesus Christ was alienated. He was cut off from God himself and cut off from God in ways that you and I will never have to experience if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, because he experienced it for you. You have a God who suffered for you. And so because of that, we have a God that whenever we are experiencing pain and we go to him in prayer and we say to him, God, I'm in pain, I hurt, I don't know what to do, it hurts so bad. Our God is the only God that can look at you and say, I understand. I know what it feels like. I've felt it too. And I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you to face this in your own strength. Just trust me. And trust that even though you can't see what my hand is doing right now, just trust my heart. And know that I'm going to take care of you through all of this. Because this is the bottom line, that because we have a God who has experienced pain, we have a God that we can trust. He's experienced it all. And so you can trust him, even though you hurt. And so my challenge to you this week is simple. I just want you to spend some time reframing the pain. Is to look at the pain and to say, okay, God, you've got this going on in my life, and I don't understand why, but I'm going to trust that, you know, your way is the way of suffering, that it is the long road, the way of the long road home, and that you're going to use this so that I can be used to be of benefit to somebody else. I don't see it right now, God, but I'm going to trust you in this. And so, God, help me to see how this can be an opportunity for growth. Help me to see how this can be catalytic in my faith for me, for my family, for my friends. See, there's an important concept that we call redemptive suffering. It comes from Romans chapter 5, where it says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character produces hope. See, trials and pain, while they're no fun during them, every one of us has things that we can look back in life and say, but I'm better because of it. I don't want to go through that again, and if I ever had to sign up for it, I would never sign up for it, but you know what? I'm better because I went through it. And sometimes suffering moves us to places we never would have made it on our own. It can serve a purpose. He doesn't always cause our pain, but he can always use your pain for his glory. Friends, when you get in the game, you're going to get hurt. But you can, through the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can play through the pain. I know you don't think you can, but you can. You can do it. And I have to wonder, why is this so important to Peter? Why is this, he's wrapping up this letter to his church? Why is he saying this? What is driving him to say these things? And I have to wonder if Peter looks back on his own life, and he remembers this moment whenever things were spinning out of control, where knowing Jesus wasn't a positive thing, it was actually a negative thing, where knowing Jesus had the potential to bring suffering into Peter's life, and denying Jesus had the potential to prevent pain and suffering in his life. Because all Peter had to do was just quit. All he had to do was just quit obeying, quit being loyal. All he had to do was just say, I'm telling you, I don't know who he is. And everybody would leave him alone. Do you think that Peter, is, as an old man now, looks back at that night whenever he denied Christ, not once, not twice, but three times? Whenever he caved into the pressure? And does he look at that night and look at what's happening to his church in this moment? And does he just want to say to them, y'all, listen, take it from me. Don't quit. I almost did. I almost gave it all up. But friends, it's always too soon to quit on Jesus. And do you think he just wants to say to them, listen, following Jesus may be wrecking your life right now, but he's also the one saving your life right now. And so, church, what I would say to you is this. Don't give up. I've been there. I know the pain. I know the suffering. I know the pull to just say, what is the point of all this anyway? But he's worth following. He is trustworthy in all of your pain. Don't give up. Keep fighting. And I know you're tired. I know that you don't want to get out of the huddle and go back out there and face another play. But you can do this, not through your strength, but through his. You can get up, finish the game. Finish. Hang in there. Play through the pain. Because you have a God who suffered for you. And so he's not going to abandon you, no matter how much you hurt right now. But this promise is for those who are in Christ. And if you are not in Christ, if you're not a follower of Jesus, then you are on your own. You are fighting this fight on your own. You don't have the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You need that. You will not be able to keep getting up out of your own perseverance and your own strength. It is only whenever you have the very Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living inside of you that you will be able to fight the good fight. And so if you've never surrendered yourself to Jesus, never said, I want to go all in with you, you've never made him Lord, you've never repented of your sins, made him Lord, experienced the blessing of baptism, then today is the day to say, I'm going all in, I want to get in the game. And if you're watching online, we're going to invite you to visit the website that's on the screen, and you can sign up there, and we'll be in touch with you, and you can make that decision, and we can get the ball rolling. Now, if you're in the room, I want you to grab your connection card and say you're ready to begin a relationship with Jesus. You're ready to get in the game. You're ready to experience everything he has for you. You're ready to quit getting up on your own, and you need somebody to lift you up and help you see that your pain is a pathway to catalytic growth. But it'll only happen whenever he is your Lord and your Savior. So if that's you, make that decision today. Drop the card off with an usher and let's get in the game. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a God who endured the shame of the cross so that we could be saved from our sins, so that we could receive eternal life, that you endured it all for us. So for my friends who have never put their faith in you, Father, I pray today would be catalytic and that they would say, I'm ready to go all in. For my friends who are here in the room and they've made a decision to follow you, but they feel drifting, they're slipping away, that the pain of life has just beaten them down. They don't feel like they can get up again and they're tempted to give up. They're hurt, Father. I pray that today in this moment that they would hear you saying to them, I understand. And I will always be with you. And that you may not see it now, but there is a purpose. There will be a purpose to his pain. Give them comfort today, Father. And I ask that in your wonderful, powerful name. Amen and amen.